you'll never know true horror until you see mice with human child faces. Superimposed onto them.
Poorly and done.
A kick line of roaches, cockroaches that Rebel Wilson, cockroaches with human faces on them, mind you.
She eats them,
that,
dude.
That Rebel Wilson literally eats. She like pops them into her mouth and eats.
Oh my God.
It's terrifying.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new Monday-sode.
Monday-sode!
Yeah, there he is, ladies and gentlemen. Justin is already jumping right in here. I, of course, am Epic Film Guy, Nick. And we are also joined, Justin, by the one, the only, God of Podcasting.
That's a lot of cum.
There he is.
Thank you for that introduction, Nick.
He said that for real. I didn't push the button on the soundboard or anything. That was all him, baby.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. I'm excited to be here.
Ow! He's only excited to be here because he's wearing a goddamn Baby Yoda sweater.
It's soft. It's cuddly. It's adorable, just like Baby Yoda. And I've gotten a lot of compliments about it today.
Is that why I've seen you wear it 3 times since you've gotten it?
No, it's because
he just hangs it up in his bedroom and just spritzes it with Axe after he wears it every day.
There's a thing called laundry. It's Star Wars season, and also it's Christmas. There's only 1 month in the year you can wear a Christmas sweater, so I'm making it count.
And speaking of Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, Christmas will have already passed by the time you listen to this. We're, of course, recording it beforehand, but Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and coming up right around the corner, a very, very Happy New Year, a Happy 2020 to everybody out there listening to the show. We absolutely love you. Thank you for an amazing 2019. Livestream for the Cure was our biggest and best year yet. Probably, I would say, our best year for downloads, like consistent downloads. And our audience has grown, the Hopester's Dumpster has grown, our Patreon has grown. It's all thanks to all of you absolutely amazing people. So Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. Thank you all so, so much for everything you do for us. Even if you just tune in, even if you're one of those silent people that never talks to us or anything, we still love you.
Which there are plenty of you.
There
you're
are.
Listening. We know who you are. Actually, we don't
know who
you are.
He said that he sucked the blood from the penis and put the balls in his mouth.
That's what Justin's going to do for you.
Yeah.
Put the balls in his mouth.
That's right. But we do love you guys, and we do hope that you and your friends and family all have a safe and enjoyable holiday season. Drink those drinks, watch those movies, listen to those podcasts, do your thing. And of course, if you have a significant other or you just like to stick your dick in the hole in the wall, get yourself laid. It may just be your hand, but the hand is better than
nothing.
Gotta
squirt that freely.
Well, I wasn't looking at you on purpose. I swear I wasn't.
Hey, I'm solo here too. Like, you know, I don't have any other options either. So, you know, it unfortunately just is one of those things. This is I mentioned it over in the pre-roll, but this has been a rougher holiday season for me, unfortunately, just because I'm alone and I'm not doing anything on Christmas. So, yeah, is what it is. But I am, however, still loving to do the show. Still super excited to talk about movies. Super excited to kick off the Epic Film Guys Fitness Challenge, ladies and gentlemen, which begins Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. So before the main review show even hits, the Epic Film Guys Fitness Challenge will have already kicked off. We actually recorded a bit for a Monday show last week that never came out. We're going to drop that in here. It's also going to be talking about some Livestream for the Cure stuff. Livestream for the Cure number 4, the 4th annual, or Livestream number 4, the Cure, whatever we want to call it. It is set in stone, so we're super, super excited to be going for $10,000 for cancer research. 2020 is going to be an even bigger year. Talking about, like, big years, 2019, like, partnering with film studios, doing those advanced screenings that we've done, that's big, big stuff. That is huge. And we cannot thank those studios enough for those opportunities. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, the end of the year, we really just nailed it in a lot of ways. And I can only speak for myself, but I'm very proud of what we've accomplished this year. And I'm looking so much forward to what we're going to do next year.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait. So, ladies and gentlemen, Lysos is recording. He's in Pennsylvania right now with family. So he's at a hotel in a conference room, and the lights just went out because they're like motion activated. Lysos, go wave your hand in front of the light sensor.
You know what's funny, Nick?
He's sitting there like flailing his arms around, like trying to make a motion.
That's the same exact thing that I do at work when I work overtime, because we have motion sensor lighting, and I'm the only one there. So it's like 7:30 at night. It automatically goes black. I have to wave my arms like this and go up and down like I'm doing fucking jumping jacks to turn them back
on.
That
was absolutely hilarious. He's like sitting there flailing wildly, like hoping some sensor will catch his movement and like activate or whatever so he can be. Oh my God, it's going to happen again because we're going to be recording for quite a bit. We're also recording, of course, you already heard it by now, but our Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker review, full review. Spoilers and non-spoilers. I'm building the wall, Lysos. The wall's going up. You're not going to be allowed to spoil the movie until I tear it down.
I mean, seriously.
There's no point in talking about the movie without...
There's almost nothing you can talk about with that movie without spoiling something.
Everyone's seen that movie that's going to see that movie.
Yeah, so it'll be a very brief non-spoiler section. Like, Lysos will give the plot synopsis, and then we'll break down the wall, most likely. I don't know what happened. You already heard it. What did we do? Tell us what we did. I don't even know.
Daddy's going to spank you with the belt now.
That already happened earlier tonight. You want it again already? You were red and raw from when I did it earlier.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
That's a lot of cum.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're super, super thrilled to have you here for this Monday episode. We've got a lot of, I guess, announcements. So Justin and the Sauce are just going to sit quietly and say supportive things while we announce random stuff. Because, guys, January is almost upon us. 2020 is almost upon us. And if you've seen Epic Film Guys social media at any time since the last weekend, live stream for The Cure, the fourth annual live stream for The Cure. It's on, baby. May 28th through the 31st, 2020. Yes, that is 4 days. Now, I have not worked out exactly the number of hours we're going to be live on the air. I haven't worked out exactly what times each of those days we're going to be live on the air, but that's Thursday, the 28th of May, through Sunday, the 31st of May, and we are going to be raising $10,000 for the Cancer Research Institute. Last year, we got about $8,300 in 40 hours on the air over 3 days. We're going to annihilate this, gentlemen. We're going to annihilate this, and I cannot wait. Fourth year of the event, bigger and better than it ever has before. I've already got podcasts literally like crawling into my door, into my windows, being like, when can I sign up? Where do I sign up? What are we doing? Calm down, guys. All that stuff is coming, I promise. All the other information, I've got to work out all the rest of the details. I got to sit down with executive producer Brennick, and we're going to go over all the different little details for the show, because of course Dan is going to be once again on site with me, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. But I'm pumped. I'm so, so pumped. I'm already excited. Like, I already want the event to be here. I'm so, so excited to raise money for the Cancer Research Institute. Are you excited, Justin?
You better settle yourself down here.
No.
All right. You better ejaculate prematurely here. You've got plenty of time to plan, plenty of things to do before we get there. It is something to be very excited about, but you need to calm yourself a little bit. Just need to calm yourself. It's still December. It's not even Christmas, bro.
I wanted to get the dates nailed in, and we actually hammered it out during the pre-roll for the patrons the other day, and it was just really, really nice to get the date out there. I'm thinking right now probably 48 hours. Probably 48 hours is what we're going to do. Dan and I will die this year. It pretty much killed us last year, but we did two 16-hour days back-to-back last year. We're not going to do that this year. We're not going to be live for that long on a single continuous day. And each show that is going to be a guest is going to have a 1 hour segment. So it kind of depends on interest. The event may even go over 48 hours. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just super, super excited. It's an amazing, amazing cause, an amazing event. We're super thrilled to partner once again with the Cancer Research Institute. And they double everything that we make in the month of May. So we stand a very good chance, gentlemen, of raising $20,000. For cancer research,
which would be incredible, and it gets bigger every year, which is always just an immense privilege to even be associated with it. And we thank everyone who is involved. It's a pleasure every year. I just love it. I look forward to it. It's like Christmas. Christmas in May.
It's going to be, I absolutely can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. But that is a lot of planning left to be done for that. But coming up on our doorstep in January, we have the Epic Film Guys Fitness Challenge returning. And this year, I wanted to get all this stuff kind of announced right here at the top of the show. If you're not already a member of the Hopesters Dumpster, this is what you need to do in order to take part in the challenge. You need to be part of the Hopesters Dumpster. That is facebook.com/groups/Epic Film Guys. Or you can just go to our Epic Film Guys page on Facebook and follow the link to the group there. Join the group, because every single day I'm going to post a check-in thread over there. So part of my diet, part of what I've been doing for the past 5 months, and I've lost probably about 60 pounds at this point, guys, and that's through counting calories rigidly, and that's through hashtag drop the sugar. Our good buddy Justin Winters over at Sorry I Married a Movie Geek, he's actually going to have me on the doctors. Like, he's going to talk to me in January and kind of talk about my success story and kind of how I got from point A to point B, and using hashtag drop the sugar as part of that. That's going to be part of it. So no added sugar. You're kicking all the added sugar. Poof it out. 30 days or 31 days, I guess, for the entire Epic Film Guys Fitness Challenge. Drop the sugar. Just drop it and see how much better you feel when you get to the end of that month. That's going to be absolutely amazing. And Justin looks like he wants to say something.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. What I was going to say is 100%, I cannot wait for the fitness challenge. It was one of my favorite things we've done on the podcast since we've been the Epic Film Guys. I myself love fitness. I love the gym. I myself have kind of changed my lifestyle a lot in the past 6 months. Myself and Nick both kind of decided separately, but at the same time in our own ways, that we were going to change and do our own thing to like make ourselves better and feel better. And we've both done it. And I cannot wait to see what you guys are going to come up with and what you guys are going to do and your success stories as well as ours.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely amazing. So drop the sugar for 30 days, and then every day, 30 minutes of activity. Whatever activity it is that you choose, as long as you're exercising, as long as you're moving, as long as you're doing something, every day that you check in, boom, you're going to get a ticket. And those tickets are going to go in for random prizes and all sorts of other fun stuff. We're going to give away some Patreon stuff. We're going to give away some different random prizes, whatever kind of fun stuff we end up thinking of. So it's going to be a really, really good time. And the most important thing, if you want to do it for the prizes or you want to do it for whatever else, but we're going to build a nice supportive community in the Hopesters Dumpster. If you have trouble, if you need encouragement for that day, if you're having trouble, if you slip, whatever the case may be, we're all going to be in there encouraging everybody every single day to just do your best, do what works for you. Some people can't do certain workouts. Like, some people like to lift. Some people like to do cardio. Some people like to run. Some people like to do whatever. As long as you're doing 30 minutes at least every day, some kind of activity, punch that ticket. Tell us what you're doing. We want to know what your results are. We want to know what your progress is, and we want everybody's quality of life to improve. So do this, number one, because you're doing it for you. Do it because you need to make a change in your life. You want to make a choice in your life. And then when the fitness challenge ends at the end of January, just keep going. Just keep doing it.
That's right. Once you get a good start, it's always been a rule of thumb in the fitness and diet world, when you're changing your lifestyle, that the first 30 days are always the hardest. And after you get past the first 30 days, it's so much easier to keep things going on that path. So
yeah,
that's what we're here for. We're going to help you get there too.
I think I'm going to do, last year I only did it once, but I think I'm going to do it at least weekly this year. I'm going to go out for a walk, and I'm just going to live stream while I'm walking right to the Hopesters Dumpster. Just talk to you guys and just have like a weekly check-in myself. I'll be checking in all my results over there. It's going to be a really, really great time. So please, please, please get involved. We can't emphasize enough how much, you know, we just want to improve the quality of your lives. We want to help you improve the quality of your life. Take that step, sign up for the fitness challenge. The sign-up's going to be up by the time this episode goes live. Definitely. It'll be up over in the Hopester Stumpster. Sign up officially. And then you're pledging again, all added sugar. Doesn't matter what it is. And I will tell you this from my experience, and I know some people have different methods that they like to do. Some people like to try to replace sugar with other things. Drop it entirely. Quit it cold turkey. It's tough. That first few days is such a hurdle to get over. It can be really tough. The cravings can be really tough. Just clear the hurdle. Don't try to replace it with artificial sweeteners or like try to substitute other things. Just drop it.
Or
just
honey or agave or anything. Any of that stuff. Literally, yeah. It's as bad, Nick. And we'll be honest about this. It's like quitting caffeine or cigarettes or anything else. Sugar is the most addictive thing on the planet. Yes, even proven more addictive than fucking cocaine.
You don't
need
it. But
once you get past it, your body doesn't need it. It'll cycle out whatever it's got in it. And then you'll be good. You'll be good to go. Yeah, boy sauce, this goes for you too, David.
No well, more Russell Stover dinners for you.
It's going to be very difficult for me, I have to admit, because I like my candy. I like my ice cream. You know, so it's going to be a challenge, but I'm looking forward to it because it is difficult to kind of be accountable to yourself. But if you have a whole bunch of people like cheering you on and encouraging you, then it makes it so much easier. And I'm ready to improve certain aspects of my diet and my exercise routine. So I'm very much looking forward to it. January is a good time to turn a new leaf and try different things for the betterment of yourself. And that's what it's all about.
Exactly. Starting a new decade, starting a new year, 2020, we're going to kick it off the right way. And we're going to build, like I said, a nice supportive community. So head over to the Hopester's Dumpster, check out all of the different information that you need to check out for the fitness challenge. Justin's going to design some new graphics for it. And we're going to get some cool merch out there. If you guys want to purchase some branded merchandise for the fitness challenge, it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's the most important thing. Have fun. And just do it because you want to improve your quality of life. And we will be here to support you the whole way. We want everybody to have a nice, healthy, happy, happy life. And that's what we're here to help you do as part of the fitness challenge. It's going to be absolutely amazing. I know that like everything that I have done in the past 5 months has been literally life-changing for me. Like insane. I've dropped so much weight. I feel amazing. I feel better than I have in longer than great. I can remember. Thank you. It's just, you know, I want everybody else to know that if you don't think you can do it, if you don't think you can cut out sugar, if you don't think that you can get that fitness in, get that exercise in, if you don't think you can do it, you can. If I can do it, I promise you anybody can do it, especially how much sugar I used to eat. I used to eat so much sugar, so much food, so much everything. And I will help you if you need help counting calories, whatever else the case may be. Justin's a fiend. Justin is in the gym literally all the time. We'll be more than happy to help anybody that needs some encouragement or needs some guidance, whatever the case may be. If you have an idea of what you want to do, let us know. We will help you, and we're all going to get there together. So let's all get it together, baby. Yeah.
And if anyone is looking for the perfect workout song, Muscle Beach by Ace Marino, listen to that shit. It's like 80s workout vibes. Put it on your playlist. Let it inspire you. It inspires me. I listen to it every time I'm at the gym.
Did you have anything else you wanted to plug into the Monday episode here?
I don't think so. Like Saucy said perfectly earlier as he's looking at porn on his phone.
Definitely.
See, he doesn't even bat an eye at that. He doesn't give a shit. He's not even paying attention to a damn thing we're saying here.
You gotta squirt that freely. I don't respond to your.
I don't know what you must be looking at some great nudes over there. I'm telling you right now, they must be fucking quality, like top notch. On the free, those free websites back in my day, we used to have to find a scrambled channel to look at pornographic material.
Can we review Black Christmas now?
Yes, we will. We're going to. And then we can talk about Jumanji passively because that's the only way to talk about that movie.
All right, so let me just roll out this this part of the Monday episode here, and then we'll come back. Like I said, if we have anything else to throw into it, we'll record sometime over the weekend probably and toss it in there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump over into a quick break. And when we come back, question mark, because we haven't recorded the other half of the Monday episode yet. Our recording schedule is all over the place. It's whatever. We just like putting together amazing content for you. But before you go, if you love the show, if you like the show, you're excited to see what comes next for the Epic Film Guys, please head over to Apple Podcasts, drop us a beautiful, wonderful, amazing 5-star review. And as I've said in the past, we will send you Loy Sauce. We'll just put them in a little cramped box, ship them right to your door, and he'll flop out onto your doorstep naked. And then you just, whatever you want to do with Loy Sauce from there is kind of what it is. So we're going to head over into a quick break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Justin and the Sauce are going to talk about a little film called Cats. That's the one. We'll be right back.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. 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 Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Justin, you missed my meow song.
I don't want to hear your goddamn meow song. Is it the meow, 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 meow?
But I worked really hard on it.
Do you remember when that commercial would play constantly on television? You must have been about five.
I recall it.
Yeah. Cats.
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking with the Epic Film Guys podcast.
Thank you, Colby.
Thank you, Colby. We're going to be talking about a little movie. Justin and I had the...
Woof. What? Wait.
Wrong movie.
Oh,
wrong
shit.
Wrong movie, dude.
Oh, I'll be quiet. I didn't see it. Oh.
We did not see Doggos. Justin and I had the pleasure... Experience? Let's go with experience. We had the experience...
Oh, yes, Pod Daddy.
...of watching Cats. The new film. Which, if you recall, we reviewed the trailer on Epic Previews, our time-honored segment, and we were pretty horrified by what we saw in that first trailer. I guess this is how it's going to be.
I want some, hotel staffer to, come to the room in an hour and just see this boy here in the dark on his computer talking into a microphone.
What are you doing, boy?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. You know what? Jared did this to me, because I've had one fucking beer and I'm like loopy. This is only 9.6 too. Like, that's how much of a fucking lightweight I am with this diet anymore. Anyway, cats.
I don't even remember where I was.
Meow.
Well, a movie came out this last weekend in theaters called Cats, directed by Tom Hooper. And it's about a tribe of cats called the Jellicles that must decide yearly which one will ascend to the Heavenside Lair and come back to a new Jellicle life. It's based on the very popular and some would say iconic Broadway musical. And Loisos, we went to go see this movie. There's a story behind why we went to go see this movie when we did, because if you're hearing this, when you're hearing it, you know that there were already a bunch of articles out there that said that Universal Studios sent an unfinished version of Cats to theaters before every single special effect was finished. So there's unfinished CGI.
Universal sent out an unfinished film to to movie theaters everywhere. We'll get into exactly what the visual effects looked like when we talk about the film in more detail.
That's a lot of cum.
But Justin, I would like to ask you your initial thoughts of Cats.
Well, calling it an experience was the right way to put it. Brian, you know that we're the horror guys on this show, and I have to say and proclaim right this very moment that Cats is the best horror film of 2019. I was absolutely terrified, scared, sitting right in my seat. I could not believe what I was seeing on that big screen.
Jesus
that
Christ.
Shit was scary. I mean, we had seen the trailers, and I'm like, it can't really be that bad, right? No, it's worse than you imagined. It's worse than your worst nightmare. Freddy Krueger, get the fuck out. Jason, nah, bro. Michael Myers, dude, you're retired. Cats,
oh
they're the new
God.
Kings to terrify your nightmares. I mean, legit, I don't... We talked about this after we watched the movie, and I asked you a question. I said, Brian, how the fuck could the people involved with this movie sit down and look at the... Because they have to do tests. They have to do visual effects tests. Like, okay, we're going to use motion capture and have the real actors just CGI to look like cats, except for they won't have cat teeth. They'll just have human faces and human hands, but the rest of them will be cats. Like, the ears will move and the tails will move. It'll be cool, right? That'll be great. Everyone's going to want to see this. How could that group of people sit down and look at this and go, this is a valid product to send to theaters?
Well, again, I think we'll get into the visual effects, but you mentioned the fact that it was worse than you could ever imagine. And I want to ask you, Justin, because when we reviewed the trailer on our time-honored segment, Epic Previews, we talked about the CGI, of course, how nightmarish it was, but you didn't have any indication of the story or what the film would actually contain in terms of its plot. I'm going to put that around heavy quotations, plot, because when we were watching the movie, you turned to me about maybe 25, 30 minutes in, and you said, is this the whole movie? because if you watch, or, you know, if you know anything about the original musical, the stage production, you know that Cats is virtually plotless. It's literally scene after scene of a cat coming in saying, you know, I'm the magic cat. I'm the fat cat. I'm the
cat that wants to lick your fucking cat ass later.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Justin
weird...
saw a wildly different cut of cats than anybody else.
No, you didn't, because there's weird sexual stuff
there's
in this film.
Some strange innuendo in this movie, but I mean,
oh boy.
So could you ever even imagine that it could be like that? Because most movies have a narrative.
There's no narrative in this. Exactly as you put it, a new cat shows up, a song happens. It's literally almost every 2 to 3 minutes in between songs. And there's nothing really to interest me as a filmgoer aside from the songs.
What?
Which
there's tons to interest you as a filmgoer. There's movie stars. There's visual effects.
No.
There's...
No. I'm saying for me personally, okay. I love musicals. And I was going to go out on a limb here and say this much to defend a little bit of the movie. There were some catchy songs here. Some of the dance numbers were very well done and very well choreographed. So the movie, in the end, Loisos, is not a gigantic trash heap. I can see kind of a small percentage of what they were trying to do.
I could see a universe in which this might work. But the problem is, when you watch something on the stage, there's a sense of artifice. There's a sense of imagination where you're watching actors prance around the stage in leotards and cat costumes, and you're able to imagine them as cats. The problem with a film is that you're watching human cat hybrids with recognizable actors' faces plastered onto a horrifying CGI cat body. And they have human eyes, noses, lips, mouths, but they have fur, and like you're looking for their ears, but their ears are on their head like a cat. And it's just so out. It's the very definition of uncanny valley. It's unnatural. It's an abomination. And watching these hybrids on screen is very off-putting. I really wish they would have taken these same actors and just put them in elaborate cat makeup, maybe. You know, Steven Spielberg worked on an animated version of this film in the 90s. If it were animated cats, that would be another thing. But this weird, the whole enterprise was flawed from the very beginning. It's very misguided.
Yeah. And I even said to you, as an example, when you watched Avatar, and I know we're talking 10 years ago as of this very moment, but they use motion capture technology. And with that motion capture, you got all of the actors' emotions. You got their eyes. They did a very good job of that. Even Andy Serkis's Caesar and the Apes trilogy is another great example of that. But you're seeing a creature with human emotions and the actors still performing and you're still getting their voice. I would have been okay with this movie, visually at least, if they were pure cat people instead of seeing, like, you know, Rebel Wilson's face pasted onto a big fat cat body and it doesn't move the right way because it's not well done, at least in the version that we saw. It would kind of be jumbled where sometimes the face moving didn't match up with the body and it was very strange and very off-putting.
Well, and we saw, as you mentioned, we saw
an unfinished version.
Yes. The effects, I mean, some of the effects looked kind of good. I mean, you're looking at the actors and the fur, the digital fur technology, they call it, is actually pretty impressive at times. And then there are other shots where especially when the cats, like the cat, the background dancer cats, it's obvious they didn't spend as much time with those visual effects.
I paid very close attention to those. Yes, they looked very, very poorly done.
And also, you know, the version that we saw had glitches in it. For example, there's a scene where James Corden plays this fat ass cat and he's just like walking down the street and his tail is going through his hand. I heard that they went back and digitally removed Dame Judi Dench's wedding ring from her human hands. Again, these cats should not have human hands, but they do. And they forgot to ask Judi Dench to take off her wedding ring. So they're going back and digitally removing stuff like that. And it's just like, why? Why did we need to have this technology? Why did this movie need to be made at all? Because I don't think this is a movie that will connect with movie-going audiences. It's one thing on the stage to have it be almost like a musical review where it's just, you know, here's a song and dance number, here's a song and dance number, and it's very loosely connected, but you're watching it as like a theatrical performance. Whereas a movie, you imagine that it would have some kind of narrative. And I imagine like families going into this movie on like Christmas Day and just being completely baffled and horrified by what they see and just like being confused. Justin, which was the cast member do you think embarrassed themselves the most?
I was just about to get to that. I was biting my lip here. The film has an all-star cast. Let's make that clear. I mean, it's got a lot of great people here. I'm going to mention the one that I think hurt themselves the most and the one that I thought really shined. Idris Elba as McCavity, who is the villain of the film.
The mystery cat.
Ooh.
Laughably bad. Dude.
Awful.
Seriously.
The worst performance I've ever seen him give.
And you know what he looks like. We just saw him in Hobbs and Shaw and he was jacked. He's big. You know, and I don't know what the time was between him making these two movies, but when you think of Idris Elba, you think of a bigger guy. He's got a good, you know, stature. He stands up tall, and they CG'd his face onto a very thin, slender cat body at times,
it's
and it looks
so strange,
horrifying to me. But I will say, I feel like this woman can do no wrong in any movie, even a trash heap like Cats. But Jennifer Hudson as Grisabella definitely brought a little bit of emotion. For me, at least, in this performance, she's, I guess, this outcast that's been kind of put off, and she's like a street person, or a street cat, I'm sorry. Alley cat. There you go. Am I Jeez. Getting it right? Alley cat. Fuck me. Sorry. I get confused when I see their face and they got fur on them with the ears and the tail and the whole thing. Is it a person or a cat? I don't fucking know the difference. But the songs that she does and what she does in the movie, I think, is the one of the only saving graces all around. Obviously, we have other people showing up, like Ian McKellen in the movie. As you said already, James Corden, Robbie Fairchild, and of course, Rebel Wilson, who's sitting there spreading her big fat cat legs and licking her crotch and doing very disgusting things that made me want to puke all over myself in the theater.
Yes. So
none of this sounds bad to me. I want to see all of this.
So Rebel Wilson, her number comes in very early in the film. And that's when we were still both like giggling, because it, first of all, it's just, you have to jump over that hurdle of this. First of all, this just looks terrifying. When you watch this film, you lose your sense of scale. You lose your sense of physics. You lose your sense of time. It's truly a transcendent experience. But Rebel Wilson's number is early on. She plays Jenny Any Dots, the old Gumby cat. And again, this is just complete nonsense. I'm sure this sounds like complete nonsense to the listener. It's just as baffling to the audience watching it. But you'll never know true horror until you see mice with human child faces superimposed onto them.
Poorly done.
A kick line of roaches, cockroaches that Rebel Wilson, cockroaches with human faces on them, mind you.
She eats them, dude.
That Rebel Wilson literally eats. She like pops them into her mouth and eats.
Oh my God.
It's terrifying. And Justin and I were just beside ourselves, giggling to each other and like just shaking our heads in complete disbelief at what we were watching. And, you know, I'm a fan of musicals. Justin and I see enough movies that we're, you know, there's very little that surprises us or shocks us in a movie. And this was just an experience. And we did decide to see it early as early as we could, because we wanted to see this cut of the film that we will likely never, ever see again. This is movie history. And Justin and I, as you know, we like to see movies in the most ironic format we possibly can. We're talking about the guys who went to see Monster Trucks in 3D D-Box, and we were the only ones in the theater. But we were like two of maybe seven or eight people in the theater on a Saturday night, opening weekend.
Jesus.
For Cats.
Yeah, it did not do well.
So it opened against Star Wars,
so
I mean, I'm proud of the fact that we went, and I'm going to throw this out there. This thought came to mind within the first 15 minutes of watching this movie, and I might be wrong, and tell me in 10 to 15 years if I'm right, but this movie may go down in history as one of the biggest failures, but it may turn into one of those rare cult hits. I could see this movie. You could shake in your head. I could see this movie be one of those movies where people put it on and get hammered and laugh at it and make fun of it constantly, almost like The Room. I mean, the movie's not meant to be played for laughs.
What a story,
but
Mark.
I was laughing at it. You were laughing at it for the wrong reasons. And I think that might resonate with some people, where it's so fucking out there. It's so garish with its color scheme, and it's so not perfected in the world that it's trying to create, that it's so out there. You're like, how does this exist? I don't know. But the fact that it does, I have to watch it. And it's almost like this morbid curiosity that like pulls you into it. I might get wasted and watch this again. I mean, it's entirely possible. And the dance numbers aren't bad. Sure, they're CGI cat people, but they're not awful, all of them. I mean, there are some horribly bad numbers, but
there's no sense of physics to the cats, though. Like, because they're CGI, they're like leaping about, and they don't really have any weight to them.
They're not in the right scale either. There's like a scene on a railroad track, and they're like the size of what you would consider like a, I don't even know what it would be.
Like a rat? Like a rat. They're not even really cat size.
And I'm like, that's not a cat size on that. And, you know, so
They change scale depending on, they change size
their
depending
environment.
On what scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it does not work at all. Some of the songs are very catchy. You know, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber. He's a very dependable composer. I mean, even Taylor Swift and Jason Derulo, who are not...
Swift was fucking awful in this movie.
No, she was not.
I despised her in this
movie. Gerald, tune out for this part quick. Gerald,
she's absolutely horrible in this movie.
No, I disagree. I think her vocals are very good.
I think she's awful, and I think she's talentless in this movie. I think they should have just booted her right out. Dude, she's getting top billing in a movie that she's in for 5 fucking minutes. It's ridiculous. She's not even a main character in the movie. She's there at the end. She's pulled in at the end, and the dance number that she's in, the song she's in, is well choreographed, but she's awful in it. She just doesn't fit.
I don't agree with that at all. Well, I also love that scene because she sprinkles catnip over everyone, and all of the cats go into a drug frenzy. It reminded me a lot of Gaspar Noé's climax.
Dude, tell me this.
Cats.
Every other cat in the entire movie, okay? They're barefoot. They have human feet. Taylor Swift's cat has fucking high heels on.
Because she's the sexy
cat. Sexy? We're supposed to think the cat human thing is sexy. Am I supposed to get a hard on from that? Oh,
that's part of the problem. I'm sure some people are getting hard on from this.
Those guys that are into bestiality, I'm sure they're sitting there whacking off in the theater. But for me, it just didn't work. Sorry. Overall...
That's
I'm not just hating on her because I don't like her. I'm hating on her because I thought she's bad in the movie. Not nearly as bad as Idris Elba, so she's got that on him. He's awful. But overall, like we said, let's finish up on Cats. We saw it, Brian. We took one for the team, but I'm happy that I did. And when I say to people, when I tell people and they kind of like question our decision making, I say the Epic Film Guys will give anything an opportunity. We'll give anything a shot.
True.
And the fact that we went and saw Cats just goes to prove that even further. I don't really give a shit. It could be listed as the worst movie ever made, and that makes me want to see it even more. So I saw this movie, and I'm going to go ahead and throw a rating on this thing. This movie did not infuriate me. It didn't make me want to blow my brains out sitting there in the theater. It didn't make me want to puke up all over myself, though. So Cats is getting a 4 out of 10 for me. There it is, Saucy.
This is one of the most baffling misfires I've ever seen in a theater. Actually, maybe even my whole life. I think Tom Hooper, who is a director that I've admired some of his previous work, but he's always kind of made some bizarre choices in his films, whether it's casting that's a little off.
Don't you dare.
Or framing that doesn't make any sense in spatial geography of a scene. I don't know if he was the right director for this project. It may have been a passion project for him. It may be a musical that he wanted to bring to the screen for a long time. And it makes sense as to why Universal executives might have thought this would be a good idea.
It has a huge fan base, right? The franchise itself.
It ran
general.
For decades on Broadway. It was a huge tourist attraction. And, you know, with the success of films such as La La Land and The Greatest Showman, you know, a big musical around the holidays is not a bad idea. It's good counter-programming for Star Wars, in theory. The problem is everything.
Yeah,
aside from a lot of the cast performing the songs well, a lot of the songs are catchy. It's just one of the most confounding enterprises. Again, you will not know true nightmare fuel until you see Rebel Wilson unzip her cat fur to reveal more cat fur underneath her first layer of cat fur. Do you remember that, Justin, where she unzips her fur?
Yeah, and then she's got like clothes on underneath.
She has like a vest, a glittery
vest or something.
A glittery vest. It's so bizarre. And if you think we're making this up, if you're listening to this right now and you're like, that can't be real. It's real. We saw it. It's Cats.
Reliving it.
I'm giving it a 3 out of 10.
Oh my God. Dude, I'll just say this in closing. The cats not only sniff each other in their rear ends, they do this weird like what a cat does when they walk up to each other and they like greet each other. They like kind of like rub
their
faces
on
their neck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, when you see the human faces doing that,
it's hysterical.
I can't even with that. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm still saying give it 10 to 15 years. I want money for this if I'm right. Cats may become a cult hit with people. It may be that movie they throw on when they're fucking shit-faced on cheap whiskey or, well, liquor or whatever, and they're like, let's throw on Cats.
They'll get bored within the first half hour. I mean, the movie takes itself very seriously.
People are going to be dressing in cat costumes and going to the theater every year to see
it. I don't doubt it, Nick. It's entirely possible.
All right,
we should have given out little cat ears.
There you go. To move on from Cats. Justin and I also got the chance to check out a different film over the weekend, and that is Bombshell, which essentially it tells a few different pieces of like stories over at Fox News. Gretchen Carlson's lawsuit against Roger Ailes, as well as kind of Megyn Kelly when she was at the peak of her prime and she had like a riff against Trump. And basically, I don't know, Justin, where would you classify this movie? Because this was a movie that I came home and I saw this movie and I came home and I came right into the dumpster and I said, go see this fucking movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people should see the movie. It's got comedic moments, so I wouldn't want to call it a dramedy or anything like that because it deals with some very heavy subject matter. However, I really do believe, Nick, just starting right off with my feelings on it, I feel like it only scratches the surface of a lot of the themes that it's trying to get through and nail home to its audience. It's obviously kind of like dealing with the Me Too movement after the fact, which I'm seeing a lot more movies are starting to do now. This happened, right in the beginning of when Trump was trying to become part of the presidential campaign.
Yeah,
and everything
it takes place
like
basically
that.
In 2015 during the Republican primaries and whatnot.
So it's actually not that long ago, to be honest with you. So it's still kind of fresh wounds for a lot of people. But for me, obviously, the allure of this movie was its cast, and that was the main reason I wanted to see this. And it had one of the best trailers of the year, that super stylish trailer with that great music in it. It just kept pulling me in every single time I would see it. And thanks to Saucy here, if he has anything to do with the trailers anymore, I don't know if you do at Alamo, but I saw this trailer literally like 20 times, and I'm like, I can't wait to see this thing. So I went in for this amazing cast and to kind of just, I love behind the scenes stuff. I love how they take real world stuff and take, obviously, this is a slightly fictional take. They did it as realistic as they could.
Which
but
was
I do
kind
think
of
it's
a weird
movie
choice that they made in the film because they would use stock footage. They used stock footage featuring the real people. And then they had, obviously, like the film scenes with the actors as them as characters. But they would, whenever they would show stock footage, they would just show real stock footage. Like, so you get to see like real stock footage of Roger Ailes, of Megyn Kelly, of all these different Fox personalities back during this time. It's also like really like hats off to the casting department for finding like literally in terms of most of the Fox personalities, picture perfect representations of them. Like the Bill O'Reilly that they cast is fucking perfect. The Sean Hannity that they cast is fucking perfect.
I'll get to the Bill O'Reilly. I don't, that's, oh God, the CG that they did on that guy. Oh God. But dude, the Geraldo Rivera they got, damn, they just got some random fucking hobo off the street. Did they get the hopester and just threw a big fat mustache on him? Because that dude looked nothing
like
Geraldo.
Probably lives in the dumpster with the hopester. Let's be honest here.
But Nick, you know what? Again, going back to agreeing with what you said to all of our followers in the hopester's dumpster, I think people should go see this. I think if for anything, just seeing this cast on screen together, let's face it, Charlize Theron is fucking mind blowing in this movie. As Megyn Kelly. No, yeah, you're right.
No.
Who?
No, they cast Megyn Kelly in this fucking movie because she legitimately vanishes into it. Like
she's gone.
Especially
she's
her
gone.
Voice. Like if you're at all familiar with Megyn Kelly's voice, like she nails that voice legitimately perfectly. Like it obviously doesn't look 100% like Megyn Kelly, except there are some shots where it's like, what? Like Theron disappears into this fucking role. It's like that's one of my favorite things. That's why she's one of my favorite actresses, because she can vanish into roles like that like nobody else. Like legitimately nails that Megyn Kelly, just kind of that attitude that she has and that voice that she has, picture perfect. It's insane.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. I mean, I definitely gonna throw it out there now. It's in probably in my top 10 favorite performances of the year as of right now, because she sinks into it so deeply, and it seems like without little effort at all. I mean, like she's that good, and we know that she's that good. And I loved her in this movie. But I mean, obviously, you know, Margot Robbie's very good as well. Nicole Kidman, as always, she's always knocking it out of the park. But I gotta say, the giant slug that was Roger Ailes amazingly portrayed by John Lithgow here, like with a lot of makeup and a fat suit and everything. I just thought he looked absolutely disgusting. And I am familiar with who that was, because he was obviously in the headlines a lot when all this went down. And dude, he was the creepiest thing I've seen outside of Cats the entire year. Disgusting, dude. I mean, we all know this stuff exists. We know that it's been a thing, and obviously the Harvey Weinstein stuff really kind of put it out into the public eye. But this movie, like I said, it tries to go deep on it, but my only thing is that I have an issue with is I feel like it should have gone a lot deeper.
How so?
Well, here's the thing. It deals with all the sensational aspects of it, but even though the characters have an emotional connection to this thing happening to them, I feel like it's an afterthought. I don't feel like it's the most important thing to their character in the movie. Even though the whole goal of it was for them to kind of overturn this guy, and it takes some of the characters longer than others to come to that conclusion and face their fear, you never really feel like they're truly facing their fear in a deep way. I feel like it's, like I said, there's some emotional scenes of them dealing with it, but I feel like it's after everything's already done, and like they're dealing more with, unless the way that I'm kind of viewing it is that Roach was trying to do it in a way that's sensationalized, the way that news sensationalizes the news that you're watching, so that the movie is kind of portrays that in that way. It didn't feel as real as it could have. Like, it was disturbing, very disturbing in parts, but I feel like it could have gone even more disturbing.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree completely. I think it was immensely effective because that atmosphere, the atmosphere I think that the film creates, it kind of pervades the entire film. And there's just, especially the way you mentioned Lithgow and his performance as Ailes, it is insanely creepy. And that creepiness kind of looms over the entire film. And the film starts off slowly with it. Like, you hear these whispers, like there's rumors about like some of the different things and like all this different stuff with Roger and these little jokes that they talk about Roger doing this and Roger doing that and everything. And then when Gretchen Carlson files her lawsuit, then more stuff starts to come to light. And then meanwhile, like, there's a scene in this movie, and I talked about this when I talked about it online as well, but there's a scene in this movie where Margot Robbie plays Kayla, and she goes to him because she wants to be a Fox personality. She wants to be big time on the show. And there's this scene where he just has her stand up and like she's hiking her skirt up because it's a visual medium, quote unquote. So he wants to see her legs because that was how they shot Fox News anchors that were female. They had them wear short skirts with the long legs sticking out, and like that I had to look away from the screen because that fucking scene gets so uncomfortable. And that's the great thing about this, like there's a couple other scenes in the film besides that, but that scene in particular, Robbie's way better than good in this film. She's fucking amazing in this film. But it's so, like, the way that Roach shoots it, he leaves it there. He makes you and the audience feel it. And I think that that's what this film was aiming to do, is to make you and the audience feel how fucking uncomfortable that is, not only to be in that situation, but that this is what these women go through their entire fucking lives. Like, they're trying to get ahead. They're trying to get big shows. They're trying to get promoted. They're trying to get anchor spots or whatever the case may be. This is the kind of shit that they're subjected to. And I've like legitimately fucking sickening stuff. And
yeah,
like,
I agree with you in that.
I feel that the film was extremely effective in fucking getting that out there.
It's a powerful scene, but it is the most powerful scene in the movie, and everything else in the movie doesn't compare, in my opinion. I think that it has the one solid scene in that respect, and I think it would have helped to actually see more of what was going on rather than just all the hearsay, because the rest of it is all just them talking about what happened and a couple flashbacks here and there. So I did appreciate that. Not like I want to see this happening. I'm not a sick motherfucker that wants to see these girls being abused.
Nobody wanted to see somebody going down on Roger Ailes for real.
No,
in the
of
movie.
Course they didn't. And I'm not even trying to say anything remotely close to that. But what I'm saying is they could have hit that home a lot harder. And like I said, we get legitimate scenes with these characters, and you can see what they're going through and their emotions. But I still feel like that could have been more at the forefront than them going, like, all the stuff that's focusing on, like, the Trump stuff. Yeah, I get that Megyn Kelly had the whole thing with Trump and all that, and that was the beginning of her story in this movie. But I felt like that kind of kept looming throughout the movie, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck about, like, that. That's not what this movie is about.
It is what the movie is about,
something much more. No, it's
it
not.
It is what the movie's
about.
The movie's
about something so much more important.
The whole rift between her and Trump was Trump's hatred of women and the way that Trump would talk about women.
I get it, but Trump's not the core of this movie. It's trying to bring in...
Okay, but it's a movie about Fox News, which is essentially Trump TV.
I get it, but it's trying to...
It's about
to
the treatment of women
Trump.
In society and in
but Nick,
this culture
within
this
newsroom.
The whole
Trump thing is an afterthought. Just having it in there to be like, oh yeah, Trump's bad too.
I disagree. Yeah, I disagree
100%,
completely.
100%.
I disagree completely because he's the figurehead. I mean, obviously he wasn't president at the time, but he was the Republican frontrunner. And like, because he's talking like that on television and it pervades the entire culture. And that I think it's
important. Yeah, but then the whole rest of the movie, he's just like, they intercut different footage of him here and there. It's like, it's almost like they wanted to make the movie about what Trump has done and all the abuse that he's incurred rather than what the focus of the movie should have been is what happened to these women instead of the stuff that obviously Trump fucking abused plenty of women and did all this stuff. And yeah, they mentioned that. What I'm saying is to me, that was in the way of what I wanted,
I think
which
it
was
wove
more
it
out
all
of these
together.
Main characters.
I think it wove it all together.
Yeah,
it created a really great atmosphere in the film that really, really lets that sink in. Like there's the scene later on in the film when Margot Robbie basically admits to Kate McKinnon's character, you know, that she had to do stuff to Roger to try to get ahead and things like that. And you have like this scene where Megyn Kelly kind of has her, you know, admissions or whatever the case may be. Like I said, I think that the atmosphere of the film, and I think that they were building all those layers on it. And I think it all revealed all that really, really well. So I probably enjoyed it more than you in that necessary respect.
No, I mean, I enjoyed the film a lot. I just think it could have been better, a lot better. I think with what is at hand in regards to these themes, I think that they should have taken more time and developed these characters a little bit further. And I just think, you know, the movie has more than one agenda here. It has the agenda of trying to tell, you know, these women's stories. Then it also has the agenda of trying to jab in the side of Trump supporters a little bit and at Trump. And I get why he's in the movie. I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the movie, but I think it was trying to balance too much at once. And it hurt the main female character stories in the long run, for me at least, as a viewer.
Yeah, I would have to disagree. But I would give this, I'm just going to say a fucking 8. I'm going to say an 8. I absolutely loved it. And I mean, the performances, I mean, literally, Theron, masterclass. Robbie, masterclass. Kidman's great.
She's kind of swept under the rug, man.
I think it's a harder time for her to disappear into Carlson for me than it is for... I think it's more glaring because Charlize Theron disappears so effectively into Megyn Kelly that Kidman doesn't as effectively disappear into Gretchen Carlson for me. Lithgow is creepy as fuck. He does a really, really great job as well. Like, it's really... I think the funny moments in the film come from all the random Fox personalities that they throw in there. They're in there for, like, little tiny bit parts. Like, you get the tiniest little pieces of them, you know, and they'll have like their name pop up on the screen just so that way they can correlate to their real life counterpart. But if you're familiar,
so did you
with
like
Fox
that?
Because
I know you didn't like that in The Irishman. So were you totally cool with the fact that they had a name pop up for every single person?
It was just
that
identifying
was...
them. That's all it was doing.
That's the same thing The Irishman did too.
No,
you didn't
not.
Like that. So.
It's not the same thing The Irishman did.
It's the exact same thing.
It is not
the
exact same thing.
It's
just identifying them. And like I said, if you're somebody that is at all familiar, especially back in this back at this time, if you're familiar with Fox personalities, like personalities on Fox News and whatnot, you would see these people. And then like the actors that they got to portray them, like I said, hats off to the casting department, because holy fuck, were they spot on with like 90% of them.
Except for that Bill O'Reilly CG, which was literally, we're talking bad CGI in Cats. Dude, worst thing I ever saw.
This probably had a lot lower budget than Cats.
The face, regardless, just saying, if you're going to do that, just show him from the side. Don't even like they CG'd Bill O'Reilly's face on this guy. The voice was there, but it didn't move with the face right, and it looked exactly the same thing that was going on in Cats. I will put a number on it. It's going to be a 7 out of 10. I thought the movie was good. I think the performances were all good to amazing. I really like loved every single person in this movie. I agree with you about Kidman. I also think that once Gretchen Carlson files her suit, she's kind of out of the picture, except for them like showing her at her house with her lawyers or watching her kids come in and offering them
a
snack.
Little bit disconnected from the film.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, well, the whole point of that character is kind of swept under the rug, and then it's all Megyn Kelly's story, which is totally fine with me because Theron is so magnetic in the movie.
I also really wish they would have... I mean, I like Kate McKinnon in the film, but she doesn't get a lot to do. She doesn't have a lot of scenes, so she doesn't have a lot of screen time or anything like that.
I mean, they do have her sitting in her bed eating ice cream a lot, so that's totally good and fine.
That is true.
You know, like I said, everyone's good in the movie. overall, I really enjoyed it. I wish that they went more than scratch the surface. I wish they went a little bit deeper on this, especially for what these themes were they were trying to dig into. Overall, still a good movie, and I still recommend people see it.
Absolutely go and see this movie, ladies and gentlemen. But that is it for our Monday sode. We are going to be stepping out here. We've still got to record a Star Wars review, guys. We got tons and tons more content.
Star Wars? I ain't never had no Star Wars. Yeah, I bet you ain't never heard of it.
But Loisauce, since you've been all quiet and just nice and petting your baby Yoda shirt, I saw you playing with it. Don't even think I didn't see you playing with it.
I've been listening very politely to your review of Bombshell,
but say,
which I plan to see.
Yes, you definitely have to see it. But say somebody out there loves the show, and they're not sure how they should show us that love, aside from all of the obvious ways that Justin would show it, you know?
Pack them in real good and tight.
Like, you know, like that. How could they do that for us? To roll in 2020 for us with a bang, what should they do?
They could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That always helps us out a lot. You can also join us on our fan group, the Hobster's Dumpster, over on Facebook. Join in the conversation there. Find us on social media.
Hey. We're
at Epic Film Guys. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You fucking pile of shit.
Yeah, that's how we're going to treat you. Yeah, that's how we're going to treat you.
That's
how much we love you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're absolutely thrilled.
Is that what you wanted to hear from me, Nick?
I love you. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Monday. So we absolutely love you. Again, Happy New Year, everybody. Have an amazing 2020. And if you want to join the Epic Film Guys Fitness Challenge, get over in the dumpster. Post your intentions. Remember, you got to drop the sugar. Commit to 30 minutes a day of physical activity. That's all you have to do. And I promise you, it will be amazing. So head on over there. We love you. Thank you so, so much out there, everybody, for listening. Until next time,
we will see you
at the movies.
This episode is brought to you by the Epic Film Guys patrons, our amazing producers and executive producers who pay us to do the show that we love to do. So a huge, huge shout out to Alan Gallerisi, Brandon Frederick, Caleb Brownlee,
Dan Brennick, John DeQuilla, Julio Oliveira,
Deborah Kinney, Chip Moore, Chris Maltesos, Justin Winters, Scott LeVar, The Running Man, The Flash, Paul Prezula, and Gerald Morris. And a very special thank you to our top-level patrons, our executive producers on the show.
Chris Yaney, Robert Moreno, our resident kaiju expert.
Bill Sutton, and Destruction in Human Form, Jared Taylor. Thank you all so, so much. And we'll see you
at the movies.